Well, friends, in my young days, believers and the church used to go around the streets with placards saying the end is nigh. Things have changed. The prophets of doom today are now the media, deriving their analysis from the data provided by the powers that be and the intellectuals and the scientists of today. What with terrorism, global warming, industrial unrest, climate change, COVID and all the rest of it, and the increase of serial murderers as well, there are plenty prophets of doom. But the church ought to counteract these prophecies of doom with its real message, which is the most positive message the world has ever or will ever hear. The gospel of Jesus Christ's never-ending free salvation reaching global proportions. Yeah. Of course, the main reason for our present insecurity in the land is our lack of belief in God and in Holy Scripture. Not only has God the whole world and planets and stars in his hands, but God is fulfilling his plan to redeem the earth and mankind from its corruption. His plan is a very long established plan, made long before the world was created and ending with a new heavens, a new earth without any wrongdoing or sin. Wonderful prospect. With so many negative forecasts, many people have become depressed because they have little hope of the future being any better than the present. And so, if people do their best to make certain times, such as Christmas just now, to be something special for the children, to give them at least some joy and happiness. Yet many people are leaving out the fundamental element which ought to be at the centre of Christmas celebrations, and that is that God himself, the creator of everything, has come among us, to dwell among us as a wonderful counsellor. We need plenty of counselling. As the mighty God, a real God, not a tin God. As the everlasting Father, as the Prince of Peace. Oh, how much peace there is needed. And coming with the best news that the world has ever heard. And that message has been announced and proclaimed since over 2.5 millennia. It has been pronounced clearly by the renowned heavyweight prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos. He could say and did say, to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And that government of peace will increase and will have no end. Isaiah 9, verse 7. Here is a real Charles Atlas, carrying the world on his shoulders. The media are experts at publishing bad news. Well, the church should be the experts at publishing good news, for its central message is the good news of Jesus Christ. What a fantastic story of the Creator entering his own world in order to redeem it, reclaim it, restore it. And Jesus did not only prophesy and tell us the truth, he practiced it right up to dying for it. When someone comes to the church, they expect to hear the truth, but they must be prepared to accept its message, remembering that the truth can hurt and is painful. The Bible does not pretend nor water down reality, and it is therefore very realistic. Its messages are truth. It doesn't hide facts. It was a famous former anti-Christian who said that the saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. And the saying is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom he said, I am the foremost. 1 Timothy 1:15. We're talking about the great Apostle Paul, who quoted Isaiah at least 9 times in the New Testament alone. So there it is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save Jesus. Christmas. That's the good news. That's the main message of Christmas. Our passage in Isaiah 9 verses 6 and 7 says that to us a child is born, the government, that is the government of the whole world, will be on his shoulders. Jesus, the child, is going to take the responsibility for the running of the whole world from his throne on heaven, where he is now, reigning until all his enemies are made his footstool. He's taking the responsibility for running the whole world on his shoulders, and that's what the scriptures say. Not, of course, carrying that burden as a child, but carrying it as the mighty God. He went through all the processes of life that you and I go through. That babe grew into a man, the God-man. And when he was born, he had a hard time with it. Jesus did not have an easy life. He was born in the humblest of conditions, vastly different from the kings of this earth, with their medical staff around them and ready to hand incubators. He had to plan his life carefully to avoid the people who are out to kill him. He knows exactly the pain the homeless, the refugees, the lonely go through today. He knew about it. He didn't have a pillow. The authorities really just didn't like what he said, didn't like his prophecies. I wonder how many children today in Inverness and in Scotland realise that the celebrations that are going on today about Christmas is not at all about Santa Claus, Christmas trees or tinsel, really. Of course, the wise men did give presents to the newborn king, and expensive ones at that as well. But they came a very long way to see someone they knew was very, very special. This time of the year should be about remembering the kindliest and loveliest man who ever lived on our planet, who came down from heaven, who just told us the truth and received the sentence of death for it. That's what he got, the sentence of death. For telling us the truth. Yes, humble beginnings, tragic end. But what a success story in the end. Our passage says of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. One day Elon Musk, seen as today's richest man, will not be running Twitter nor Tesla. Bill Gates will have nothing to do with the running of Microsoft. But the International Church of Jesus Christ will run on forever. And he reigns up there in heaven, as we said, until all his enemies are his footstool. The Church of Christ will penetrate every culture in the world. At the end of the Bible, there is an end time view of history. I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms, saying, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. What are the main characteristics in the strategy of the government of Jesus Christ? What is it built on? How does it compare with the principles and policies of the investors and business magnates of today? Well, our passage in Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 tells us again. It tells us that our great God, in Jesus Christ, of course, will uphold it and establish it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Christ's kingdom is the kingdom of truth and righteousness and justice. We might say that the fall of many present-day magnates and prosperity giants is in this realm of justice, truth and righteousness. Many businesses thrive through the oppression of the vulnerable, the oppression of the poor and of the ignorant. Our land is crying out for honesty and integrity in all of our institutions. We're failing because of our greed, our self-centeredness, our hypocrisy, and our dishonesty. We must get back to truth and right living, godly living. And here is where Jesus Christ stood out. We urgently need the coming of the Spirit of Christ to convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Practical righteousness in daily life, in domestic and business life, is lacking too much among Christians. I love Christmas because it brings me joy and hope and happiness. It compels me to think seriously about Jesus, the best person who ever lived. Be sure to honour Jesus Christ this Christmas. Whatever you do, thank God for Jesus. Join the Apostle Peter and say, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift of Jesus Christ. Well, may God bless these thoughts to us.